Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
That does not mean that we think Sal is a turkey. I just wanted to make that clear. He's with us on the Western Hotline. Happy Wednesday, everybody. The segment with Sal brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, sorry, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? The sad thing is the words are on a piece of paper in front of me. Still doesn't matter. Sal with us here. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. Happy day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too, guys. Good morning.
Thanks. And if you've got any Bills questions for Sal C, 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. Would you like to hear your weekly reminder about not overreacting to a player not practicing yesterday? Just to, you know, remind me?
Sure. I mean, that's true. But I will tell you, in the case of John Brown, I am very curious what's going to happen. He's right. Been banged up, guys. I mean, like, you got to remember in the Arizona game, he got his leg twisted under him and that one catch late in the game. He was already dealing with a knee injury. I think that it's clear over the last couple of games that he's just not completely himself. He's not been able to pull away from people. A couple of different wide receiver screens that they've run there that he got into the open field and twice wasn't able to get into the end zone because I don't think he's at his top end speed. He's clearly been dealing with something all year in the knee. He's been on with an ankle and a knee, and then he hurt both of them on one play, it seemed like at least, in that Arizona game. So, again, yes, I agree. Don't freak out about it. But I think it is something to monitor this week as far as he's concerned. And I'm not sure about Dawson Knox. You know, we'll see where that goes.
I ask this knowing that if you don't know, folks, the media only sees the first few minutes of practice. Could you tell if Isaiah Hodgins was working out? Was he practicing?
Yes, he was there. He was practicing. He's on the field. He's running individual. So he was out there running routes. You know, I don't know. Obviously, we can't tell, as you just noted, like what, you know, he's doing when they go to team. And
yeah.
You know, if he's lining up with the offense, I couldn't tell you anything like that. But I could tell you that he was out there, you know, with the receivers like everybody else.
Very good. Broncos game is set. Any thoughts on the 4:30 slot for that one?
I like that one.
Not surprising. I mean, I figured since the schedule came out, I thought the Bills had a pretty good chance to be one of those teams. And for a couple of reasons. I think the matchup itself, well before the season, I thought, you know, Denver could be a team that could be in the wild card mix. Obviously, they're not now, and you figured the Bills would be a team in the playoff mix, you know, in some way, shape, or form. So that's number one. As the season started to go on, you know, the Bills were having their season. That became more apparent. But also, guys, remember the conversation I had with Mike North, the schedule guy, way back when during the offseason? You know, he made it clear that the Bills just resonate on prime time. They did last year. And to me, and I know it's, if we want to call that prime time or not because of the time slot, you know, that it just always seemed to me that was a game the league might want to put the Bills on a Saturday because they drew really big numbers with the Bills and Patriots on the Saturday last year.
Hmm. You know, it's funny, Sal, like the way the Bills resonate now, like not before in 20 years, that goes to prime time. I saw a commercial for the new Madden video game, right? So the PlayStation 5 comes out and Madden's going to next gen. And as they're showing all of the highlights and things you can do in this game, what are you getting there? You get Josh Allen throwing a deep ball to Stephon Diggs. And I'm thinking, man, it's been 15 years since, you know,
right?
Or, you know, maybe it's happened a couple times here or there, but to be featured the same way that a Mahomes highlight would be, the same way that a Deshaun Watson highlight would be. And, like, I know these are tiny little crumbs of stuff, but, you know, when you go so long without even feeling like you're in the league, and, you know, we watched them get back last year. And now in the next couple weeks. Like, they're going to get their spotlight yet again, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think this week is a week for that too, Jeremy. You know, this particular week, there's not going to be a ton of Sunday games compared to what we normally have because of the three Thursdays and the Monday night, obviously. So there's going to be fewer Sunday games to watch. Let me go and look at the Sunday.
There's 1 actually some
window.
Really nice games in that 1 o'clock window.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there's one that's going to be. I think the national game.
Tennessee
is
and Indy is a really nice one.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. That's the big one for a lot of stuff.
But I think part of it too is I think a lot of the country is really interested in Justin Herbert. You know, he's looked really good.
Sure.
And now that Burrow's out for the year, unfortunately, and with Tua's struggles, Herbert, he kind of had the spotlight here as the rookie quarterbacks and how well he's playing. I think he's become a story. And Keenan Allen was just so incredible last week with the amount of, what do you have, like 20 targets last week? I have to go back and look.
He had 16 catches. I mean, he had 16 catches, so yeah, I don't know how many, what the target
number
was.
It's incredible, right?
Yeah.
It's incredible. I think they're a bit of a story because of that. And, of course, I think the Bills are. You know, a team that is a story right now because they're looking to win their first division championship since 1995. A game like this would go a long way in that. Keenan Allen last week had 19 targets, guys. He was targeted 19 times, 16 catches, 145 yards. He's good. So, yeah, I agree with you, Jeremy. I think that, they're starting to get a little shine, if you will. And I think this week could be another week where, you know, there's a bit of a focus on them in this game.
Nice thing about, to play off of Jeremy's point, Sal, and actually this can lead you into the stats you tweeted out yesterday about Josh Allen, his passing and rushing stats so far in his career. You know, when you don't have a rooting interest, if you're a football fan, you're watching the game, what do you want to see? You want to see points. You want to see offense. You want to see excitement. You want to see fun quarterbacks to watch. And we never talked about the Bills in that category for years. Now they are. And, you know, you would watch because Josh Allen is all of a sudden like one of the quarterbacks you'd like to see. And I mean this in a good way. Not even the whole, there's the Josh Allen experience. He'll complete a pass and then he'll make a play and turn the ball over. And you're like, what the hell was the guy doing on that? No, he's good. And Diggs is good. And Brown is good. And Beasley is good. And they can get to 30-plus points. And that's what you want to see. And that can tie in the improvements that you pointed out in the numbers, both passing and rushing for Allen, to year three. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think that what it comes down to is, and we've talked about this, which is his floor has been risen. You know, we could talk about his ceiling. People talk about Josh's ceiling all the time. And I think it's true that he still hasn't gotten to his ceiling, wherever that is. I don't know where it's going to take him, but his ceiling is higher than what it is now. I think he's on a great progression here. We'll find out. But I think it's clear, guys, his floor has been risen, right? I mean, when he has a bad game, it's not nearly what it used to be over his first couple of years. Does he have a play or two here or there? Sure. I mean, that can happen. There's no doubt. I think we're going to live with that for pretty much all his career. You're going to probably have a play here or there every once in a while, maybe on a monthly basis where you go, oh my God, I can't believe he did something like that. But I think overall, his bad games just aren't that bad. It's funny because as we say that, like Tom Brady's floor is lower.
Yeah.
Monday night was a great example. When you guys asked me what I thought about that game, you could see that when Brady's bad, his bad is a lot worse than it's ever been. Josh Allen's bad is a lot better than it's ever been, right? And I think that's been the big difference, and I think that's why you see these numbers that are rising. And what I tweeted out is I went back and looked, and I was just curious, you know, where Josh was through his first 10 games this year compared to his first 10 games of each of his first two seasons. And only because curiosity, at the bye week, I'm just trying to put some things together, and I know he's improved. But you look at the massive improvement. I did tweet this out yesterday. It's yesterday morning. You can find it on my Twitter feed if people want to take a look at it. I mean, the improvement is just undeniable. And for everybody who told us or whatever, you can't teach accuracy, I think Josh is just flying in the face of that. But it's not necessarily that you can't teach it necessarily. Josh has worked on it. You'll give him credit for it. But there's a lot of reasons that go in it. But it's not just accuracy. It's everything. It's taking care of the football. His interceptions, 11, his first 10 starts of 2018. He had 7 last year. He's got 7 this year. So the interceptions stayed the same, but the touchdowns have dramatically increased. He went from 13 last year to 21 this year. And I mean, you go from 52% to 60% to 68%, 10 games, 10 games, 10 games. It's just amazing. Now, what has come with that has been a lower volume of rushing.
Running. Right, right.
Which is, he's actually running the same amount. Hmm. He's only had he's had between 72 and 76 carries each year through this time in each season. This has been the lowest, but it's close to what it's been. There's only a 2 difference from last year.
Mm-hmm.
But he's averaging less than 4 yards a carry, which is insane considering he was at 6.7 his first year. He's still getting in the end zone, by the way. 5 touchdowns this year. He had 6 his rookie year. He had 7 last year. So he's close to that. But I mean, but I think all of us will take that, right? You're going to take Josh Allen being a lot better as a passer if you're going to sacrifice some of the run game. You know, he's no longer a quarterback playing. He's no longer a running back playing quarterback, guys. He is a quarterback who can run the football.
One thing about the upcoming schedule, Sal, I wanted to ask you about and get to. ESPN's football performance or football power index, you know, the rest of the schedule is going to be interesting because by looking at strength of offense and strength of defense, it's as simple as they do it, okay? Defensive strength, offensive strength. Every team the Bills play for the rest of the season, they have a better offense. And every team they play for the rest of the season, the Bills have a weaker defense. Like the Broncos' defense is better. The Chargers' defense is better. Not all great, you know, huge gaps here. The Steelers' defense is better. Miami and New England, slightly better. But offensively, the Bills are the best team going forward. So, like, I don't know if that's any larger point here, but the Bills are above average offensively and right on the line of an average defensive team, which I think, like, seeing that is kind of sometimes shocking for people that you might – you know, have your doubts about the defense. It is right in the middle. It feels terrible sometimes for the, you know, considering what they've been, but they have the best offense of any team in the next 6 weeks that we watch football, which I think is a good feeling and gives them a chance to win every game, and is probably why Howard picked them to beat the Steelers in a couple weeks. You know, it's just,
I think it's
a different kind of year, and I think it's a good test too for this offense against defenses that are all, every single defense left is above average according to ESPN's Football Power Index.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's just a great way to look at a change in philosophy and how we've always thought about the Bills. And, you know, for so many years of the drought, for example, right, when they were close, when they were in the hunt, we'd say, well, you know, their defense can keep them in these games if they can get a couple extra scores or something like that and not turn the ball over. It's completely flipped now. Now it's, yeah, they can score with anybody. Just got to make sure you get a couple extra stops, you know, and I'd rather be that now. I'd so much rather be that. When you go into a game, and we'll go back to the first 4 weeks when we said this about the Bills, because it was true, because they were winning this way, which is when you have an offense like they have, or they had those 4 weeks, you always have a puncher's chance. You're always going to go into a game with a puncher's chance. And the game has just changed dramatically. We know that. We've talked about it here for a long time. And I think at least the Bills are in the right spot here as far as the way the league is to try and win games, which is you have an offense that can score points. And even if your defense isn't that great, you're always going to have a chance because it's about scoring points. It's funny, last week in the NFL, I don't know the exact numbers, I have to look. So kind of a lower scoring week, wasn't it? Like the first, the 1 o'clock games I was watching going, boy, we're not getting these 30-something point games. There were a lot of games that were lower scoring. There were low 20s, even lower than that. So, you know, maybe it's just something that's happening as the weather turns. I don't know. There was some bad weather games, like in Cleveland, for example. You know, so at some point you're going to have to say, okay, well, you know, the defense has to carry the day a little bit. But as long as you keep scoring and you can you know, do what the Bills have done on offense, I just think you always have a chance.
With the defense, Sal, somebody called this week, and I think we were talking about, you know, it is what it is. It's not last year's defense. We know that. It's doing some things better, but to your discussion about both you guys pointing out, look, the Bills have one of the best offenses in the league. They can make this work if you get the occasional key stop, which this defense has done, right? What do you expect from the defense the next six games? Do you think that they'll get noticeably better? This is who they are? What is your assessment of that side of the ball?
It depends on what your metric of better is, Howard, right? I mean, what do you consider better? Because are we talking about like a yards per game? Are we talking about points? You know, things like that. Because to me, and you can answer the way you define it, to me, I'd like to see, and I hope to see, them continue to be a little bit more aggressive and make some bigger plays. Mm-hmm. I think that's just what's missing from the defense. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have a really good defense. A lot of it's because they're so aggressive and they make big plays.
Yeah.
If they don't make those big plays, they have some struggles on defense. You know, to me, it's about making big plays for the Bills that just they haven't been there. They haven't been – yeah, they're actually sacking the quarterback at an okay rate. The Bills are a top half of the league, I believe, in getting to the quarterback this year.
Yeah.
But they're not making those game-changing plays, those takeaways that result in really big swings of field position. They've had a few of them over the last few weeks, but I think that's a product of them starting to be a bit more aggressive. So to me, what I expect over the final stretch is because of what Jeremy said, the offenses you're playing are not world-beating offenses. I think they can get a little more aggressive here, and they can maybe turn some games because of some plays on defense.
I was going to
jump on that. I think that's too. I think you could have the same defense playing a group of offenses that's not as threatening and just kind of look better as a result. And they've played some pretty good offenses over the stretch here, you know, and with Kansas City and Tennessee was humming at the time, and Arizona's in there, and the Rams are in there. You know, they gave up their yards, they gave up their points, and now you have a stretch. I mean, I guess the Chargers is not exactly a pushover. The Chargers were leading the league in yards, or leading the conference in yards a couple weeks ago, Sal. I remember you mentioning that. So they've got their tests. I feel the same. Like, I'm looking for the defense to be about the same and get a couple of big plays, a couple of sacks, a couple of picks, the way they did in the last couple of weeks, when they've started to look a little better.
I thought, Jeremy, your stat, whichever week, was it before the Arizona game maybe, the stat about Trey White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde? Here are the guys that are, to Sal's point, you want difference-making plays? Those are the three main guys that could make difference-making plays and have in the past.
Yeah, they had no picks.
Right.
Coming into that game,
it was eye popping when you pointed that out. And but
was
that's,
it Arizona? Or was it the week before?
Was it Seattle?
It was Seattle. Because Seattle. They got picks.
Okay. White got his pick against Seattle.
And so did Poyer in the end zone.
Okay. Yeah. So, but those are the guys that you look at. If you know, quick change on possession, whatever. Not that the offense only needs a shorter field; they can put together long drives. But that those are the kind of plays I think that have been. Sal, I'm guessing you're talking about those plays had not really been in this defense prior to that game, those three guys.
Well, let me I think correct, and I think that even when you've had turnovers, a lot of times it's not like that, oh my God, huge game-changing play, something like that, you know, getting a strip sack to really change field position. Sure, maybe somebody could point to a game where, well, they had one in this game against the Raiders or Dolphins. I get it. I'm saying that I think that they haven't been there on a consistent enough basis where you can say, and you don't want to rely on that. Like, that's what the Dolphins did. And I've pointed out, like, that's not a way, that's not a game plan. You don't rely on it. But you got to have them once in a while, I think, to give yourself a little bit even more of a chance. Now, for example, guys, I pointed this out. This is incredible to think about. The Bills currently have the longest drought in the NFL of scoring a defensive touchdown. Did you know that?
I did not. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Can you name the last defensive touchdown the Bills scored?
I mean, does Micah Hyde's count on that? Onside
nope,
kick return.
No, special teams.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Oh, the
wasn't
last
it
defensive touchdown.
Wasn't it a Jordan Poyer interception?
Yes, at New England in 2017.
2017?
That's it. Every team in the league has scored a defensive touchdown since then. The Bills' last defensive touchdown was in 2017. They went all of 18, all of 19, and so far all of 20. Now, Tre'Davious White got down to like the 4-yard line. It could happen. It's just, we're talking a 4-yard difference between them breaking that drought and not. I get that. But this is the point I'm making, right? I mean, which is, and sometimes it's just luck. Sometimes it's just falling and getting an extra yard because somebody doesn't trip you up or something like that. I understand that. Maybe it's Jerry Hughes against Cleveland where they could have been gone either way with the Baker Mayfield flip because even though it was in front of him, he tossed the ball up instead of going forward. You know, I still think that's kind of a debate on what happened on that play. You guys know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Remember that one in Cleveland? Like, Jerry Hughes goes to the end zone. It's a touchdown. Then they reverse it. The little things like that, they can play into it. But I think the overall point here that I'm trying to make is they have not had those plays come their way since 2017, really, the way that they did. In 2017, they had three defensive touchdowns. And look, they were probably not the better team on the field in a lot of games they played, but they still made the playoffs because those plays can matter.
All right.
Sources tell me that Sal has trivia for us.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I was pausing.
I do. If you have time.
Before
please.
Thanksgiving. There's no such thing.
We mail in this show anyway on the day before Thanksgiving. Don't worry about it. And we never go on to break on time. So whatever.
Well, I figured you guys would like this one because I think, were you guys at first of all, do you know the last time the Bills beat the Chargers, right?
Yes, we were just talking about that yesterday.
Okay.
We were talking about that yesterday. I don't know if that's going to ruin
it. That's okay. It was 2008.
Yeah.
Right? And it was here. It was the game that was the power outage game, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. The Bills were, what, 4-1 going into that game?
They were.
I believe
Bills,
so, yes, right.
Bills won that game 23-14. I mean, I don't know. I didn't listen. You guys might have covered this.
We might have done this exact trivia.
What was the one you did?
It was
the skill
the
guys.
Skill positions, basically. Name them.
For what team?
For the Bills. Who had carries? Who was the quarterback?
I have the Chargers.
Oh,
all right. All right.
You're reading our
can
minds.
Can you name
right.
the one? Can you name the, what is it? 8 different Chargers who either had a rushing attempt or a catch. See, I didn't even know
Thomas.
You guys did that.
He was there? Yeah, he would have still
that's
been
right.
there, right?
LT's on there. Yeah.
Lorenzo Neal.
14 times.
Oh, Lorenzo Neal.
No, that's he not is right. not on
it's
there.
It's not right.
But I like working in Lorenzo Neal.
What
I just think
this
that's
again?
Really cool. 08.
Right? 08. Philip
yeah,
Rivers.
08. Would you go?
Rivers had one rush, yes.
Oh, really? Wow, I bet that was productive.
One rush for -1 yard.
Okay, receivers for the Chargers in 2008. Receivers. Boy, trying to think of Chargers receivers before Keenan Allen.
David Boston.
No.
No.
He was in Arizona for most of his career. Did he go to the Chargers? He might.
Gates would have been their tight end.
Antonio Gates is a good answer.
That's about all I got, fellas. I think I may have to tap out at this point.
Oh, come on. There's Danny Woodhead. These are all names you know.
Danny Woodhead.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. I just...
It's actually recalling them would be the problem for me, Sal.
I'm trying to think of like my fantasy teams over the years. Who was Phillip Rivers throwing touchdowns to? It's going to drive me nuts. There's a big name receiver here, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
James
I'd
Lofton.
Say pretty big name.
Did he play anywhere else?
Lance Allworth?
Yes. Hold on. Hold on. Let me get to this guy here. Yes, he did play somewhere else. He came in the league. He had some nice years, like not monster years in the league, but he was nice. He was a good player. He did not play anywhere else. He actually played for the Chargers from 04 to 15.
Ooh,
he was there a long time.
Shoot.
Tim Dwight.
Led the league in yards per catch 1 year.
Oh, my boy.
Came out of... oh, man. I didn't know, he went to Wyoming. I didn't know that.
Huh. Devery Henderson. Out of Wyoming?
Yeah.
Undrafted?
Devery Henderson.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-mm.
No.
Sorry, boys.
I don't know how to... I don't know a good... I don't know
initials?
A good... MF.
Hey! Come on! It's a family show! Michael Fuller, the brush man. No, that's Corey Fuller, I think.
Malcolm Floyd.
Wow. Oh, my
goodness. Never going to get it.
No, yeah, I don't.
Malcolm Floyd.
Really?
Was there another running back we're missing besides Tomlinson?
Malcolm Floyd had a nice career, though.
Yeah.
That's a nuts, right?
Who else?
Yeah.
I mean, that's nice.
Malcolm Floyd.
He caught over 5,500 yards of footballs.
Wow.
Okay, you got LT. Here's one you should be getting. This guy was good. He was a beast. I love this guy. He was, I think if I remember, he was taller. He played
a receiver or running back.
He also played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kind of split his time. Went from the Chargers to the Bucs receiver. He was a second round pick.
Big deep threat guy, wasn't he?
Vincent Jackson. Jackson. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah,
was he a big deep threat guy? Right, I think. I remember his.
Okay, there's a running back in here who he only had one carry, but he caught a bunch of passes. Known as a known really his career for another team lately, but he played a long time. In fact, still played up until last year, maybe.
Matt Forte.
No, and he's only.
I don't even know if
six.
He played for the Chargers.
Tiny running back played until last year.
Played for the Chargers.
Patriots.
Played for the Saints. Played for the Eagles.
Oh.
Sproles.
Sproles. Darren yes. Sproles. Yeah, there you go, Jeremy. Yes. Good job.
Oh, I only got it because you went give me the whole
special.
Clue.
I was thinking Jeff Special. He was.
All right, so you got the Tomlinson, V-Jax, Darren Sproles, Phillip Rivers, Malcolm Floyd, Antonio Gates, Vincent Jackson. The last two I do not think you're going to get. They have very interesting last names that I had to even look up to make sure I could pronounce.
Marcus Tuia Sisoko.
No, but you're kind of close, actually. It's Brandon Manumo Wallena.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Had him on my fantasy team.
Manu Maluena.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
I think that's how you say it.
Close
and
enough.
And then the other guy, I have no idea. I have no recollection of him. Nene is his last name.
Nene. Yeah, he played in the NBA.
I know, right? That's what I'm thinking. No, it's this is how you say his name. Legadu Nene.
Never.
You're
making that up.
Receiver.
You're completely making that up.
He played for the Chargers, the Panthers, and the Dolphins. His name is Legadu Nene.
No. I'm accusing you of fake sports.
Yes, and he did. He caught two passes for 7 yards in this game.
Okay, if you say so. Maybe it happened during the power outage.
It did make the trivia a little tougher if you weren't at the game.
No, I know. Right?
I was at the game. I still don't remember that guy playing, so don't worry about it.
Were you guys there? Were you at
the
game?
I was at the game.
I was at the game, yeah.
So I didn't miss a beat. All right, hey, what's today? Oh, you're off tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the rest of the Capaccio family, and we will talk to you for Football Friday.
Yeah, you, and just so everybody knows, Bills do practice today. They do not practice tomorrow. So
you'll
that
be out
was
there
why
today.
They practiced yesterday. So just so everybody knows, stay with the updates today. I'll be out of practice a little bit later.
And the first injury report of the week will be out
correct.
Today.
Yep, right. Exactly.
Very good. Thank you, Sal.
Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.